future, choose AmeriCorps.
See website for details. Bills Happen is not a lender and does not make credit decisions. Hey, Bills Happen. So when you need extra cash fast, go to BillsHappen.com. Have you been turned down? Are your credit cards maxed out? Do you have bad credit? Go to BillsHappen.com. All you need is a job and a checking account. You can find a lender and get up to $5,000 cash as early as tomorrow at BillsHappen.com. BillsHappen.com is the smart way to get a personal lender now. So if you need extra money for car repairs, medical bills, family emergencies, whatever you need cash for, go to BillsHappen.com and you can get the money you need as soon as the next day, up to $5,000. At BillsHappen.com, our process is safe, secure, and all online. No one to deal with in person. And BillsHappen does not charge you any fees to use our service. It's easy. When you need a lender, just remember, when bills happen, go to BillsHappen.com. BillsHappen.com for the cash you need now. BillsHappen.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A federal judge in Boston hearing arguments today over Harvard University's lawsuit challenging the Trump administration's decision to freeze more than $2 billion in federal funding.
The hearing featured an attorney for the administration arguing that Harvard's contracts with the government give Washington the right to cancel the grants. But Judge Allison Burroughs pushed back, saying the Constitution puts limits on the government's actions. Harvard says its First Amendment rights have been violated in the canceling of more than $2 billion in grants. The administration says the school has become a hotbed for anti-Semitism. It's a charge the university forcefully denies.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy, the man convicted of kidnapping and murdering Eitan Potts in 1979, has been granted a new trial. Federal appeals court today ruling that the jury received a flawed instruction from the judge about Pedro Hernandez's purported confessions. Potts was six at the time. His face became the first to be printed on a milk carton as a missing child. And stocks are up in afternoon trading. This is ABC News. Police in upstate New York have charged a Canadian father with the murder of his 9-year-old daughter while both were driving from New York City to Montreal on vacation. He's entered a plea of not guilty.
New York State Police say Luciano Fratolin and his young daughter Melina were vacationing in upstate New York from their home in Montreal when Fratolin called Saturday night saying the 9-year-old had been abducted by someone in a white van. Captain Robert McConnell says when investigators began finding inconsistencies in that story, they began searching around Ticonderoga, New York.
Members of the New York State Police Forest Rangers located Melina, deceased, in the shallow portion of a pond.
Fratolin was supposed to have returned his daughter to her mother's custody on Sunday. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The Washington Commanders set to get a new stadium built, but President Trump vowing on social media that he plans to delay those plans unless the Commanders change its name back to the Washington Redskins. The team's name changed in 2020 after Native American groups said the old one was insensitive and offensive. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Do Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keep coming back? Tremfya, guselkumab, may help, with rapid remission achieved at 12 weeks and lasting clinical remission at 1 year. Some even saw visible improvement of their intestinal lining at 12 weeks and 1 year. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active Crohn's disease and adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections and liver problems may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Healing is possible with Tremfya. Approximately 3 out of 10 patients were in endoscopic remission at 1 year, based on areas visualized on colonoscopy, which may not represent the deeper bowel layer or entire GI tract. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayla. The statewide economic impact of the NFL draft totaled $104.7 million, shattering the projected number of $94 million. Packers Vice President of Marketing Gabrielle Dow said the 2025 draft was the second most watched draft on TV behind 2020's draft during COVID.
Day one drew 13.6 million viewers. Day two drew over 7 million. And day three was the most watched day three on record.
Brad Toll is with Discover Green Bay.
Direct spending was $43.4 million. Indirect and induced spending added together with that brings us up to $72.9 million. And that's locally.
It was projected that the draft would have a local impact of $20 million. Around 600,000 people attended the three-day event back in April. Volunteers are needed to teach hunter education courses. Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources outdoor skills trainer Kayla Sassy says they need help with basic education courses.
The main focus is basic firearm safety. No students are really coming out of a hunter ed class as like expert hunters. It's, you know, kind of the baseline. Here's how to safely handle a firearm and then some hunting scenarios.
Sassy says they're also looking for volunteers for advanced courses which teach additional outdoor and hunting skills. You can visit the DNR's website on more information on becoming a hunter education teacher. It's not every day you hear about a park closure due to wasps.
Police in the Manitowoc County city of Keel put out a warning Saturday afternoon that Lions Park was closed on account of a massive number of ground wasps that were spotted by residents. A pest expert from Public Works was sent out to do a check, and it turned out the swarm was harmless sand wasps. Police gave the all clear later in the day. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and summery today, with high temperatures scraping the low 80s and a nice east breeze. By tonight, we'll be partly cloudy, a chance of a few spotty showers. Otherwise, more likely tomorrow morning, thunderstorms. Clouds clear, will become bright and beautiful, highs in the mid-80s. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
You know, today looked pretty typical. Lower values in wheat, corn, soybeans, bean meal. Higher prices in the bean oil, the cattle complex, and even lean hog futures. And, of course, you guessed it, those higher prices in the cattle complex mean another round of new contract highs.
Live from the steamy Southern Outpost via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll begin with a conversation with Randy Martinson from Martinson Ag Risk Management. Later, Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. And directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Welcome to AgriTalk, everyone. Glad that you have decided to spend a little bit of time with us this afternoon. Yeah, kind of a stinky start to the week.
Yeah. Kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah. Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Ooh. Corn was, well, call it a nickel lower. Beans, okay. Double-digit losses in the front two contracts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was kind of a rough start to the week. But, like I said in the open, this has kind of become the typical trade where you got beans lower, you got bean oil higher. Bean meal is pulling beans to the downside. And that cattle market, good grief, dude. Just when the Bears thought it might be safe to step back into the market, I wonder how Bubba's doing. They thought it might be safe to step back into the market, the Bulls came running back in there and just smoked them.
Do we need to send over a wellness check for Bubba? Just check in. Someone look in the window, maybe.
I wonder if he's given up eating beef. if he's just that upset about the whole thing.
It could be. Can't even stomach it anymore.
Can't even stomach a steak.
Boy, that's a sorry spot to be in. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Yeah, you definitely don't want that to happen. Don't want that to happen. Randy Martinson, Martinson Ag Risk Management, is going to be our guest analyst today. I'm looking forward to the conversation with Randy. And, of course, we got Jack coming up. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to the markets.
Well, Chip, September soft red winter wheat futures opened a tick lower, tried to rally, and then fell back to post a low range close. Winter wheat futures posted an inside trading range with a close below the opening range. Mm-hmm. Spring wheat futures accelerated the price slide and came within a penny of support at the contract low of 586.5. Export inspections of wheat week ended July 17 totaled just over 732,000 metric tons, and that easily topped trade expectations. Chip, it's early in the marketing year, but wheat export shipments for 25-26 are 13.7% ahead of the year-ago pace. USDA says exports will be up just 3% from year-ago. Wheat futures failed to rally on word Bangladesh has agreed to buy 700,000 metric tons per year for the next 5 years. September HRW wheat futures were 3¼ cents lower at 525¾. September soft red wheat down 4 cents, 542¼. September spring wheat closed at 586½, down 9 cents, Chip.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if the Bangladesh deal didn't have something to do with a little bit of strength that we saw in the wheat market last week. On the week, the winter wheat contracts were just slightly higher, but dang, that spring wheat market last week and today, really struggling with the idea of just how big that crop is going to be. We'll talk to Randy about that. That's his territory.
Well, I probably don't need to tell you, beloved listener, but there is plenty of heat and humidity in the weather forecast. But the outlook also includes rain to limit crop stress. That gave traders the confidence to get back on the sell side of the market, with December futures opening lower and dropping further to test support at 420. Export inspections of corn in the weekend of July 17 totaled nearly 984,000 metric tons, falling short of trade expectations. Nonetheless, corn shipments are running just ahead of the pace needed to get to USDA's export forecast. September corn futures were 4¾ lower at 403¾. December corn down 5½ cents to 422¼. March corn futures closed at 439¾. That's down a nickel today.
79 degrees up here, and it is only going to get warmer and hotter and muggier as the week goes on. But as you said, there's some rain in the forecast, taking some of the support out of the heat that's coming our way.
Export inspections of soybeans totaled nearly 365,000 metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. Total bean shipments this year are running just slightly ahead of the pace needed to get to USDA's estimate. Front month soybean oil futures opened slightly higher and near session highs, and then saw early pressure following Friday's downside correction. Prices then recovered to close above the opening range. Generally good growing conditions and trade uncertainty continue to weigh on soybeans and soybean meal. August soybeans 12¾ cents lower today, 10.15. September beans down 10½ to 10.10½. November beans closed at 10.26, down 9¾ cents.
Now, if the pattern holds, we should see some follow-through buying in the bean oil market. And soybeans should start to pay attention to the move in bean oil by midweek.
Well, December cotton today was 58 points lower at 68.10. Over to the livestocks, last week's weighted average cash cattle price was $237.78, surprisingly up 57 cents from the previous week. Choice graded boxed beef prices were lower this morning, but live cattle futures were solidly higher. August Fed and feeder cattle futures scored new contract highs on last week's move higher in cash trade. August live cattle $1.67½ higher today, $225.22½. August feeders up $3.60 to $327.60, and August lean hog futures 87½ cents higher, $107.35. Chip.
Yeah, hey, you know, that cattle trade, the way that it has been, just, I even hesitate to use the same words that we are always using, resilient, and the ability of that market to push to the upside has been really, really impressive. So it is something. All right, let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, I'm doing great. How's everything good there in Cedar Falls?
They're doing real fine, real fine. You know, I was pretty excited about how the grain markets ended last week, and then we got today. I'm not so excited about how they start. What's your take?
Well, we're in a weather market, and last week the weather looked like it was going to be hotter and drier this week, which it will be for a few days, but we needed it more like for a couple weeks. And longer range, the forecasts are still calling for warm temperatures, but not extremely hot, and a few showers around, and that took a lot of the weather-related buying that we saw late last week out of the market here today.
Yep. Yep. Hey, when are you going out on your tour again?
Yeah. I believe we're going out like the first weekend in August. Because we're gonna have to find some time to put the report together before the actual report, and the report's gonna be like the 11th. So I think we're going out like the 3rd or 4th or something like that.
Okay. Good. Good. You know, I always call your tour a pollination tour, and that's picking up importance with all the talk out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's going to be very interesting. I'm expecting to see some pretty good crops, but I've been hearing about some dry pockets in through our tour area, so we might not see all the big yields that might be expected in Central Illinois this year.
Yep. All right. Well, you know, we'll get you guys on, and we'll talk about what you guys see out there. No question about it. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds great.
All right. Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Coming up next, we're going to talk wheat, corn, soybeans, cattle, hogs. Randy Martinson, Martinson Ag Risk Management.
As we step into the heart of the U.S. growing season, brace yourself. This is traditionally the grain market's most volatile stretch. Recent months have already brought dramatic price swings, and more turbulence could be likely. Having a trusted advisor by your side can make all the difference when navigating this volatile landscape and spotting profitable opportunities in the chaos. Markets move fast. Preparation is key. Opportunity favors the informed. Let's make the most of this season together. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use database uses photo matching technology across multiple social media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.org.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call US Med now to learn more.
800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
You are invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek, August 5th through the 7th for this year's Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, celebrating generations of progress with a chance to explore cutting-edge equipment and innovative technology, taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There are scheduled dairy tours, field demonstrations, hundreds of industry booths, and great family entertainment. Be there August 5th through the 7th. Bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.51% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
You know, Davis, there is something that's happening tonight that we haven't even mentioned yet, and I'm a little surprised.
Is that so? Do I have a
yes.
gig tonight?
Well, as long as it doesn't rain, as long okay. as it doesn't keep raining,
huh?
You know, and make its way up there to Chicago, the Kansas City Royals at 48-52 are going to be playing the Chicago Cubs at 59-40.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry for what we're about to do to your beloved Cubbies.
Hey, buddy, I
rough
am
season,
willing.
Poor
Let's
record
just go series.
No.
Let's
we're
go
coming.
Series for a steak. Series for a steak.
You got
okay?
it.
Okay?
You got it. Absolutely. Done
I love
deal.
It. I love it.
Farm
Excellent.
Journal TV is
Excellent.
Our witness now. Thanks for watching.
That's right. That's right. Let's bring in Randy Martinson. Martinson Ag Risk Management. There, got it. How you doing, Randy?
Not too bad. How's Chip?
Doing real fine. The best bets are always for a steak, aren't they?
They are. And if you lose, I mean, whether you win or lose, you still win.
You get a steak.
That's
either
right.
way. Either way.
That's exactly right. That's the only reason I make that bet.
I know where we're going already, buddy boy. Come to KC. We'll do it. We don't even need the game.
I love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Randy, it's good to talk to you again. How's things looking up your way?
Well, for the most part, you know, not too bad considering how we started. You know, we had a pretty rough start again this year, kind of like last year. You know, we thought we were going to see an early spring, and it didn't turn out to be that way. Once we did get in the field, things went pretty good, and we were able to get things planted fairly well, you know, up until about middle of May. And then we got kind of a break with some rains that came in. But the soybeans, you know, they look a little tough. Corn looks really good. We're just starting to get into the pollination, into the tasseling side of it. So we'll now start to see, you know, just how good the crop will turn out. Wheat looks fantastic. I mean, it does look like it's going to be an average, maybe above average crop as far as the wheat market is concerned.
All right. Just a reminder, Randy's up in Fargo, right? I got that right?
You got that right.
Okay. All right. I'm telling you, that spring wheat, I'm trying to figure out exactly how everybody's saying such good things about it, and you're not alone in that assessment that it looks like it's a doggone good one up there. You got USDA there. They've come with, I believe it's the second highest spring wheat average yield estimate on record. And we're sitting there looking at the weekly crop progress report and the condition updates in there, and just over half of the crop is rated good to excellent. I thought it would take more than that.
Well, you know, I know Montana's dragging us down, and I think, you know, Idaho, Washington was the big one that kind of pulled it down last week. But, you know, for North Dakota, the crop is sitting pretty good. But we've got kind of the tale of two cities. You know, the western part of the state has been a little bit, you know, they've got had some adverse weather that came through, some hail that did some damage to the crop. The northern region has been dry. You know, so where most of the acres get planted, it's been a little bit on the dry side. They've gotten some rains here now lately. Hopefully that's going to help things out a little bit. But the southern regions, you know, where there's smaller acres, the crop looks fantastic down here in the southern half of the state.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Did the Canadian prairies, those rains that they got last week, were they good ones? I mean, really helping that crop?
You know, they help the crop. I mean, they stop deterioration and you know, I don't think they're going to add bushels, but they okay. certainly did help stop the deterioration of the crop and kind of made it, you know, level off a little bit. We could use, and even that in the northern parts of the state, that was kind of the same thing. It stopped the deterioration. It isn't probably going to add a lot of bushels, but, it, you know, we're at least now going to see something maybe, you know, APH yield in that area.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the way that the market performed last week, the September HRW contract on the week last week was up about a nickel, and the September spring wheat contract down 18.25. You look at the charts right now and the difference between the winter wheat markets and the spring wheat markets, it's almost like the spring wheat market has finally said, listen, we just realized how good this crop might be, and we got to do some catch up. Is that kind of what's happening?
That's kind of what it looks like, you know, and yeah. We're seeing decent quality in the hard red, you know, in the winter wheat region. So that's taken away kind of the need to do some blending again, you know, yep. So that also is taking away one of the markets for the spring wheat crop. You know, right now, you know, we are going to see lower acres. Our production, you know, the yield, if it comes in as they expect at that second largest, it's still going to be a pretty good large crop that we're going to have to try to deal with.
Yep. Yep. Any other wheat areas around the globe you've got your eye on as something that might send some demand here?
Well, you know, one thing, as you mentioned earlier, with Bangladesh signing this deal to buy wheat from us, you know, we're looking at some trade deals that could bring some demand in for our wheat. That's taking the market away from the Black Sea region. So, I mean, that certainly is going to be helpful. You know, also, they're talking, you know, we're talking about some dry areas in the Black Sea region in Russia. Hopefully that might lower their production a little bit. But for the most part, you know, right now we're pretty much looking at what our crop's going to be and getting harvest going here within a couple of weeks.
Yeah, okay. So the trade deals, the trade policy out of the Trump administration, Randy, is it a positive for commodities, negative for commodities, still waiting to see for commodities?
Well, I think we're still waiting to see. I mean, you know, right now, you know, egg hasn't really been a big part of a lot of them. You know, when countries have been coming in and saying they'll buy more product, they've always said they'll look at buying more ethanol, you know, more soybeans. So that seems to be the markets that they're kind of leaning towards. You know, I know we got a new egg trade ambassador. I think that's certainly going to help maybe to bring egg into the forefront and be talked about a little bit more.
Yeah. Yep, that should definitely be the case there. No doubt. All right. What else are you watching in wheat? Anything? I mean, dollar value, outside influences?
Well, the dollar value certainly helps. You know, and today we saw the dollar down hard, but it didn't help to support the wheat market. Yeah. And we have to lean a little bit on corn, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So let's go to that conversation about corn. Last week, it seemed like they were trying to take some bushels off of the crop, Randy, and I think they've tried to put them back on there today, didn't they?
I think they tried to, yeah. I mean, you know, the good rains over the weekend for the Corn Belt, and you guys are seeing it now, too. You know, that certainly is going to help alleviate some of the problem that these hot temperatures could have brought in. I still think there is a little bit of concern out there. I mean, I think our demand has been still better than expected, and the USDA might have to make some adjustments. It did hurt last week seeing the export sales number come in as low as it did. So it kind of shows us you know, maybe we've sold what we're going to.
Yeah. That one surprised me a lot, Randy. I mean, our corn is cheap enough compared to Brazil. We should be right in there.
We should be, and they're not really looking at shipping a lot of theirs right now. Their harvest has been a little bit slower, you know, and they're looking at using more domestically for their ethanol program and for feeding animals as well. So their domestic demand is going to pick up a little bit. So not all their corn is going to come into the export market. And we do, I believe, right now still have the cheapest corn in the world. So we should be grabbing more attention. But to see it go from 20 to 30 million bushels a week down to what we saw last week, that was somebody slamming on the brakes.
Yeah, that stunk. And, you know, tomatoes might have something to do with that, Randy.
Tomatoes, okay.
Yeah, when we put the tariffs back on tomatoes coming from Mexico, Mexico might have just kind of said, okay, you know what? We're not going to play this game right now. I don't know. It sure could have.
It sure could. And, you know, they're number one buyer of our corn. You know, number two, Japan is also seeing some issues, and it's not likely we're going to get a trade deal with those, you know, with Japan in the short term. So that adds to it. And, you know, when you start messing with number one and number two in a market, it can deflate your hopes pretty quick.
Yeah. And the wild card out there in the market when it comes to corn and soybeans, that being China, there just isn't see a lot of positive developments on that unless I'm missing something. Are you seeing anything?
No, I agree with you there. I mean, I do believe that China has to buy from the U.S. They just can't get it all sourced out of South America. So they will buy something from the U.S., but whether or not it's going to be 20% like they did last year or whether it's going to be 10%, that's going to be what is really left up to the decision makers at this point. But that, again, is also, you know, when we're talking to China, egg hasn't been part of the discussion. It's all been the rare earth metals and it's been other products.
Technology. Yeah, technology and intellectual property and a lot of that stuff. So, all right. Hey, we are in the middle of a conversation with Randy Martinson, Martinson Ag Risk Management. I want to talk a little bit more about the supply and demand balance sheet. I want to talk some biofuels. I want to talk about what's going on in this soybean oil market. And then, like I said, don't look now. Another new contract high in the cattle trade. We'll dig into that a little bit and try to figure out just how much life is left in this market with the air as thin as it is. We'll continue the conversation with Randy next.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. For September, HRW wheat futures were 3¼ cents lower at 525¾. September SRW wheat down 4 cents to 542¼. September corn futures 4¾ cents lower at 403¾. December corn down 5½ to 422¼. August soybeans were 12¾ cents lower at 1015. November beans closed at 1026, down 9¾ cents today. December cotton was 58 points lower at 68.10. Over to the livestocks, August fat cattle $1.67½ higher, 225.22½. August feeder futures jumped $3.60 to 327.60. And August lean hog futures were 87½ cents higher at 107.35. Get more, simply visit tryprofarmer.com.
When the game is on the line.
Looking for a new skid steer loader, compact track loader, or UTV? Take the challenge. Go head-to-head against other brands, comparing quality, comfort, or performance. Bobcat machines are the best in the industry. But don't take our word for it. Visit BobcatAdvantage.com or visit us in person at Comro Sales and Service, your authorized Bobcat dealer in Durand. Call us today, 715-672-4263, to learn more.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
You've got so much glorious summer to fill. What are you going to do with it? Easy answer, do it your way at MOA. Do it up with Nickelodeon Universe's Ultimate Summer Party, Dora's 25th Anniversary Celebration, slimy fun events and hair-raising rides. Do Crayola Experience for the littlest ones. And here's a bright idea. Do it smart with MOA attraction bundles and the no-worries 72 degrees and sunny forecast every day. That's your summer, your way at MOA. Mallofamerica.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and summery today, with high temperatures scraping the low 80s and a nice east breeze. By tonight, we'll be partly cloudy, a chance of a few spotty showers, otherwise more likely tomorrow morning, thunderstorms. Clouds clear, will become bright and beautiful, highs in the mid-80s. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
We are in the middle of a conversation with Randy Martinson, Martinson Ag Risk Management. Welcome back. I'm your host, Chip. Davis is here as well. Big Apple Joe is keeping us on the air. Yes. Randy, bean oil. Explain this to me, because on a day where it should have been willing to go to the downside, follow up a bit with Friday's downside correction, it just didn't want to go down today. What's going on there?
You know, you have to almost lead that it, you know, that we're seeing a lot more demand on the biofuel side of things than what we anticipated. And, you know, we're going into a year where I think we're a little concerned about where the soybean production could fall, because of the soybean crop isn't quite what everybody expects it to be at. So we could be looking at some concerns about, you know, supplies of bean oil and being able to meet the requirements that are out there on the biofuel side. You know, it seems to be that's the direction we're kind of pushing our soybeans to now, is more to the crush side because of the loss of exports. We need another demand source. And right now the biofuels industry looks like it's the best choice. And I think that's kind of what's helping the bean oil stay strong.
Yeah. It took a while to develop, but it's here. And you're up there in the area that has seen some expansion on the in crush capacity. Are you seeing it in the cash market, the impacts?
Well, you know, a little bit. I mean, you know, the basis levels on the crush facilities are much better than where they are in the rest of the, you know, the elevator systems. You know, North Dakota is a good example of how that works. You know, we were very dependent on the export market, where you know, we raised about 200 million bushels of soybeans on a yearly basis. We had to export them all. Now we've got two crush plants, possibly a third, and now we're exporting only 70 million bushels, whereas we're crushing the rest, and that certainly is helping to increase or improve the basis levels for soybeans in the state.
Yeah, yeah. It's been an interesting time to watch what's happening in this bean industry. And you know, we started a few years ago calling it the domestication of the bean market, and really, that's what we're doing here. It certainly feels that way, but it leaves us with a problem, and that's a lot of soybean meal, right?
It does. That is one of the problems, and you know, when you look at the difference between those two markets, you know, you've got soybean oil, who put in a weekly high last week, and you put in, look at soybean meal, who put in a weekly low last week. So yeah, one's hitting contract highs, the other's hitting contract lows. So we definitely do have a problem with soybean meal and needing to move it. And that was, you know, that's where hopefully some of the exports and some of these trade deals can help open up some of the markets that we need for the soybean meal, because we're not going to be able to consume it all domestically. It has to go into the export market.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's coming. They're increasing shipping capacity out of the Pacific Northwest, is very specifically to handle that meal coming out of, well, Northeast Nebraska is going to be part of it, but South Dakota and North Dakota. So hopefully we find a home for that somewhere out. And I think that's why meal has become much more sensitive to the trade issues than what soybean oil is. Soybean oil, based on what we know right now, is going to have a use here at home. But this bean meal, good. You know what we got to do? We got to increase our pork exports. We got to increase our pork production and pork exports. That's what we need. Get that done up there, Randy.
That's exactly right. I mean, and that's where most of the soybean meal needs to go, is through animal agriculture. And that's where we need to start building a little bit, build that up and actually increase our you know, hogs is one, cattle are another. Hogs take up much more than what the cattle will do, but, you know, animal agriculture does need to increase.
Yep, yep. Okay, we've talked a little bit about crop size. We've talked demand. We've talked a lot of issues already. Anything else on that supply and demand balance sheet that you're really keyed in on right now, Randy?
Well, the big thing that I'm watching is, you know, where is the exports for old crop corn going to end, and what's that going to translate to as far as our stocks estimate is concerned? You know, and right now, you know, we're about at USDA's projections again. Now, with the slowdown last week, does that mean we're going to, you know, kind of coast to see what USDA is going to do for the last, what have we got, 6-7 weeks left of the marketing year? Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be the big issue to look at, is just where our old crop corn demand falls and what that means to our ending stocks estimate, because that's just going to put that much more strain on the new crop corn.
Yeah, can the demand side of the corn balance sheet, you know, the exports specifically, can that change enough between now and the end of the year to have much the end of the marketing year to have much impact on price action?
Well, if we, you know, we can still trim our stocks by 100 to 150 million bushels, which would put old crop stocks down to that, you know, 1.1, puts new crop down to 1.5. You know, you start looking at some concern, and you throw in some of the concerns we're seeing with the pollination right now across the U.S. on the corn crop, and, you know, yeah, you got concerns.
Yeah. It kind of feels like corn just got too cheap, but at the same time, you can't say that when what happened to our exports last week, when stuff like that happens. You know, the end users are always looking for a better price, and if they feel like they can find one later, they're going to wait.
Exactly. You know, and that's kind of what threw the monkey wrench into the export side of things was last week, you know, and just what are we going to look at forward? But, you know, we've got some of the hottest, tightest stocks for corn in the U.S. We've got some of the tightest in the world right now for corn. So there is some concerns out there.
Yep. There should be. It feels to me like corn just got too cheap. I don't need you to have to say that, but I don't know. What do you think?
No, I agree with you. I think corn got too cheap, and the demand definitely did show that, because we're, you know, Colombia's a big buyer. I mean, we're seeing buyers we haven't seen in years.
Yeah. All right. Let's hop over to the livestock trade. Man, oh, man, the air is thin up here in this cattle trade, and they just keep marching higher. It's impressive, isn't it?
We started this bull run in September of last year. We're almost on a, you know, 10-month run, which is astounding when you look at it for any of the commodities. And every little retracement gets hit with another wave of new buying that comes into play. Everybody wants to be long cattle right now. So
do the fundamentals in that cattle market, do they change enough week to week to keep this thing going? Yeah, because to me, Randy, it was $40 ago when I was saying a steady market in fed cattle should be considered still bullish. You know, if we could have held in that $185-$190 range, to me that would have still been a bullish market. But here we are, 225 in the front month contract now. This is astonishing to me, dude.
It is astonishing. I looking at it, when you look at what retracements and all that, when you look at the charts, you know, I figured we had a chance to maybe go hit 225 as a high in the live cattle market, you know, 325 on the feeder cattle market. But, you know, those don't look like they're going to be that's going to be the end of it. It does look like this market's got some more room to move. And, you know, we keep the supplies tight. You know, we're not expanding the herd as rapidly as we'd like to. Now, we're going to see a cattle inventory report, the semiannual, I believe, on Friday. And that will give us a hint if we're looking at retaining some heifers. And that might change some of the demand, the dynamics of the market as well. But then we also have, you know, we're going into the season where we'll start to see new crop calves, the spring calves, start to hit the market here pretty soon. Seasonally, we start to see a little pullback. It's going to be interesting to see how the market absorbs those.
Yeah. Yep. If we do save some heifers, we're still two years from a stake.
Exactly. I mean, it takes a long time to build that cattle herd, and we're not bringing that breeding herd in. It's got to be raised domestically.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Okay, risk, man, we only got a couple of minutes left. Go back to the grains for me. Do you feel the need to do anything in this grain market right now, or is now kind of a time to watch?
I think now's the time to watch. You know, if anything, if you got some, you know, some attractive basis levels that pop up, take advantage of that.
Okay.
That way
yep.
you don't have to pay the storage and you know, so look at the attractive basis lines. But other than that, I don't think now is the time to be pricing a lot of grain.
Okay. Take us over here to the cattle market. What do you do in this thing? I mean, the basis makes it almost impossible to hedge. And the risk of margin call makes it almost impossible to hedge.
I you know, you have to just use minimum price contracts, you know.
Yeah.
You either use puts. They're pretty expensive, you know, and you can't really sell calls against them because of the threat of that margin again. But, you know, some sort of a put or the LRP program has really been working well.
Okay. Do you have guys that use that on a regular basis? The LRP?
Yes, we do. Yep.
Good. Good. It seems like people have really figured out how to use it and how to use it effectively as a risk management tool, correct?
Correct. It's a very good tool out there to use, and it's a nice one to lock the floor in. And, you know, the nice part is, you know, you delay, you don't have to pay the premium till the policy expires, plus you're locking in the cattle you want to lock in. So it's got a lot of benefits.
Exactly. Exactly. Randy, always a good conversation, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you.
All right, man. Randy Martinson, Martinson Ag Risk Management. We got Kerry Artek coming up next here on AgriTalk.
Want to get...
Okay, raise your hand if you want to make your life a little bit easier. Great. Now raise your other hand if you like to be comfortable. Perfect. Now that you have both hands raised, imagine putting on your shoes. And that, folks, right there is your answer to an easier, more comfortable life. Go hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. This is footwear you don't need your hands to put on. They can be raised in the air, and you can just step it and go. Why don't you experience what people can't stop talking about? Life-changing Skechers Slip-ins. Get your Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
All right, Takis fans, Wendy's knows you love your Takis Fuego chips. So we thought, why not make a Takis Fuego meal with a Takis Fuego chicken sandwich with spicy chicken topped with crushed Takis Fuego chips and creamy corn spread. Plus, it comes with Fuego fries inspired by Takis and a bag of Takis Fuego chips. If we add any more heat, we might start an actual... I told him this would happen. For an intense new take on Takis chips, gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. Includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Babbel. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at babbel.com/TNC.
How did Babbel become the award-winning language learning app? We thought of you. All of you. Take Sierra. As a visual learner, she uses Babbel's wordplay videos. Malcolm is a listening learner, so he checks with Babbel speech recognition to be... However you learn, Babbel makes it easy. Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you text radio to 64000. That's radio to 64000.
Here's comedian Howie Mandel for hands-free Cozy Fit Skechers Slip-ins.
Yeah, I'm holding a new Cozy Fit Skechers Slip-in sneaker, and first of all, I barely know I'm holding it. It's that light. You see, Cozy Fit is a cool new sneaker where the upper is made of a soft quilted material. It's kind of like a little puffer jacket for your feet, except it looks like a super stylish sneaker.
Introducing new Cozy Fit Skechers Slip-ins, the latest comfort creation from Skechers. You can find Cozy Fit Skechers Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find the Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936. Again, 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AgriTalk for a 50% discount. Go to farmjournalyieldacademy.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us on this Monday afternoon, which means it's time for an update from Kerry Artak. Don't forget, you can go to artakadvisory.com for a free trial, or if you want to get a look at what Kerry and his team are doing on the equity sides, go to wickedstocks.com. All right, Kerry, what are you doing?
Thanks, Chip. Starting with December 25 corn, I just wanted to kind of back up a little bit and mention that the broader corn futures market continues to trade inside of a range that was established over the last year or so, when last August the market placed a 385 even low that is yet to be retested. And then last February we rallied up to 513 even and have fallen back since then, of course. So we're now trading in the 410s, 420s, and our signals both upside and downside tend to be in the 3 to 5 week category. So holding above 416 and a quarter, an area that actually could contain selling through the rest of July, 444 even remains in reach over the next 3 to 5 weeks, where the DEIS 25 contract can top out into possibly through September and fall back to 416 and a quarter or lower over that time frame. And certainly not likely this week, but if we were to close above 444 even, then we enter another 3 to 5 week buy signal, this time up to 469 even. And that is a longer-term resistance area that actually could contain buying into autumn trade, quite possibly through the rest of the year for the broader corn futures market. Downside, a closing any day this week below 416 and a quarter will put the market back on its heels and keep that 385 even low in reach by the end of September, where the broader futures market can double bottom off of last year's low through the rest of the year. on to August Live Cattle. August Live Cattle did settle last week above a one-year channel top that had been holding for the last few months. And we now are above it. It's at 222.75, but we closed last week above it by such a narrow margin that I'm reluctant to suggest going long through August until we close, say, the week itself above this 222.75 level by a full 1% margin. That magic number is actually 224.97. Now, we are right there pretty much right now, just above it. These long-term line studies, they're not concrete points, but they rather have a certain degree of elasticity. And so the analogy I like to use is the rubber band. And if you will, it is stretching to the upside. It hasn't snapped upside into a 1 to 2 month buy signal until we actually close the week at 224.97 or higher. And then I'd expect continued gains of close to 10 full points by the end of September to a 5-year channel top that is a significant resistance at 232.45 and climbing weekly, where the broader live cattle market could top out well into next year. Now, we did close Monday just above the 224.97 level, and so I'm advising my subscribers that they may want to lift long-term hedges that may have been established over the last month or two, and then rather than go long during the week, they may wait for a Friday settlement clearly at or above that 224.97 level, which would then signal probably a 10-point rally. What is now 232.45 will be by the end of September in the 234 handle. Downside, if we close the week Friday at or below 222.75, that will keep 210.35 in reach, possibly by the end of August, by the end of September at the latest. 210.35 is a midterm support level that can contain monthly selling pressures and is our significant downward pivot point through the rest of the year. If we were to close below 210.35, we've got a good annual high, 196 even, then expected over the following 3 to 5 months. And finally, NVIDIA. NVIDIA is a stock I cover daily on our wickedstocks.com YouTube channel. It's a free video. It is closing in on an objective we mapped out over a month ago, this week at 176.78, a 2-year channel top and climbing. It's been an objective. If any of your listeners happen to go long in April with our buy signal above 117.50, or 4 weeks ago with our buy signal above 150 even, this 176.78 2-year channel top is an area one should consider taking at least some, if not all, profits. We came very close last week to testing this long-term area, and the market is now susceptible, really, to falling back to 149 even by the end of August, possibly lower into later year. On the other hand, a weekly settlement at or above 178.55, there's that 1% threshold above 176.78, would indicate continued gains over the next 2 to 3 months to 219.50. So if we close Friday 178.55 or higher and you haven't yet to buy NVIDIA, this would be the next buy signal on strength to 219.50. Until then, this is an area that we're entering at 176.78 that can absorb selling through the rest of the year. So it is a profit-taking zone. And that's all I've got, Chip, for this week's analysis.
Man. Good stuff. Good stuff on that update there on NVIDIA. He's performed very, very well on that. No doubt about it. Thank you, Kerry. Kerry Artek, Artek Advisory, wickedstocks.com. Davis.
Yeah.
A couple of hours ago, we learned that Representative Ana Paulina Luna from Florida has referred... Yes, has referred Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell to the Department of Justice for criminal charges, accusing him of two specific instances of lying under oath. So Luna is accusing Powell of perjury, two different occasions. Trump, I think, can, you know, over the weekend, I think he had the meeting with Besant about Powell, and Besson is basically saying, listen, let the guy ride it out here. And Trump says he has no intention of firing Jerome Powell, but could this be something that they're looking at in a way to get him out of the Fed? I don't know. I do not know that, but it looks kind of that way. All right, National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook, July 27th through the 21st. We've got above normal temperatures across the entire Corn Belt. The highest odds of above normal temperatures is a bullseye on western Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas. Above normal precipitation expected northern Nebraska, the northern two-thirds of Iowa, most of Illinois, and points to the north. Near normal below that. The heat sticks around in the 8 to 14 day, July 29 to August 4, and the above normal precip moves further to the north. Thank you so much for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. We are going to have a conversation with Randy Doughty and David Hula right here on AgriTalk.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle or forget extra diapers. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face. Never, ever become a minivan mom. So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, know it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call US Med now to learn more.
800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Coverage varies by plan, view contracts, and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If your car is out of warranty, one major repair bill could wipe you out. Just ask Ludacris.
Car breakdowns can wreck your wallet. But if you've got endurance, you could never pay out of pocket for a car repair again. With endurance, your car's most expensive parts are covered. Plus, you pick the mechanic you trust to do the work.
$800 to repair a bad wheel bearing, a new steering rack, close to $3,000. Endurance covered it fully.
With Endurance, your rate stays the same no matter how many claims you file.
If your car is under 20 years old, Endurance has you covered with unlimited miles. Plus, 24/7 roadside assistance anywhere in the country.
So who's going to pay for your next breakdown? You or Endurance?
Choose the name Ludacris Trusts, Endurance. Right now, get a year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free, backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. For your free quote, call 800-298-9383. 800-298-9383. 800-298-9383.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Kentucky, sentencing, a hearing is underway for former Louisville police officer convicted of violating the civil rights of Breonna Taylor in a 2020 shooting. The DOJ, under the Trump administration, now calling for a lesser sentence.